So Rabbi, we know that today is the first day of Hanukkah, and as such, I think it's important to speak a little bit about this Yontif that we have now for the next 8 days, as opposed to the usual shmuz that's on the Parshas HaShavua. If I would ask someone here, what are we celebrating on Hanukkah? What are we celebrating? So, would anyone have a clear answer? Clear answer? Anybody? Yeah, go ahead.
The winning of the war.
The winning of the war. Okay, go ahead.
The candles lasting 8 days.
Candles lasting 8 days. Go ahead. Oil. Okay, one more.
Reinauguration of the Beis HaMikdash.
Once again?
Reinauguration
of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So these are all answers, right, that are valid, right? The Jews won the war against the Greeks many, many years ago, and it was a great miracle that happened, that the menorah was lit in the Beis HaMikdash with enough oil to last only for one day, lasted for 8 days. The Beis HaMikdash was re-inaugurated, that's true. The miracle of the oil, all these things are true. But I think, Rabbi said, that all of these answers are a little bit, just a little bit superficial. We have to understand a little bit better to appreciate Chanukah. Chanukah is a big yontif. Chanukah is a yontif of 8 days. Right, Purim, the Yontif that we all love, is only one day. Right, Chanukah is 8 days. Now, obviously, that's because the Nes lasted for 8 days. But being that it's such a long time, so we have to really try to do our best to understand what's behind the Yontif of Chanukah. And in order to do that, we have to start with something that we find in the Halacha. The Halacha says, the Shulchan Aruch says, that a person, Riboy HaSudos, that the Sudos, parties, celebrations that people make on Chanukah, that the celebrations that people make on Chanukah do not have the status of a Sudas mitzvah. They are not considered a Suda, a meal, which is a mitzvah, but rather they are considered a Sudas harishus. It's not obligated. A person does not have a chiv on Chanukah to make such a party. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Shalol kavam wa-mishta l-simcha. Because of the fact that when the rabbis established Chanukah, the purpose was not for parties and simcha. Meaning, even though there are other times that we have that, like most notably on Purim, but on Chanukah was not that way. And the reason for this is brought in the Mishnah Berurah. I think it's fairly well known. That's because that whereas on Purim, the decree was against the physical destruction of the Klal Yisrael, to physically destroy the Jews. So when the Nes of Purim happened, the celebration was more in the sense of a physical celebration. Whereas when it comes to Chanukah, so the Mishnah Berurah brings here from the Poskim, so the inyan was that the Greeks were trying, the decree of the Greeks was to destroy the nefashos, to destroy the soul of the Jewish people. To destroy the Torah, like we say in Al-Anisim, Lashkicham Tarasecha, that the purpose of the Greeks was that the Torah should be forgotten. And the Mishnah Berurah proceeds to say that had the Jews agreed to push aside the Torah and accept the Greek culture, so then everything would have been good. There was no interest to the Greeks to destroy the Jews physically, just to accept the culture of the Greeks. And therefore, when Hashem ultimately saved the Klal Yisrael, So the victory was a victory of Torah. The victory was a victory of the nefesh, of the neshama. And as such, the way we celebrate Chanukah is more through spiritual things, even though people do make parties on Chanukah, and it could be, if a person says Divrei Torah, would be a Sudas Mitzvah. But the fact of the matter is that the main celebration on Chanukah is through learning and through saying Hallel and things and giving Hodah to Hashem, saying Na'al Anisim, thanking Hashem for what happened. Now that being the case, so we're left with a void. We're left with a void because that means that the main purpose of Chanukah is to thank Hashem, and we don't really have a clear understanding of what the issue was. So I would like to try to just give a little background to appreciate the Nes of Chanukah and how it's relevant to our times, because I think that what happened then is very much similar to what we're facing today in the year 2013. Okay, the Greek culture, just a little history. The Greek culture came about approximately 200, 250 years before the Common Era. Okay, before that, the Goyish world, the non-Jewish world, consisted of pagan practices, pagan religions, people who worshipped Avodah Zarah of different sort, but it didn't have much depth to it. And in every culture, in every country, there were a few strong-armed people, the kings, who controlled. They put taxes on the people, they became very wealthy, and they basically bullied everyone around. And everyone else was involved in conquest. We're going to capture this territory, we're going to go for this, go for that, but there wasn't much meaning to it. The first people in the relatively closer to our time, the first people probably in the history of the world that were real thinkers were the Greeks. The Yavanim were people who made tremendous contributions to the world, contributions that still exist today. We live here in America, and if someone would ask you, in one word, what is the government of the United States of America? One word, what kind of government is it? What's the answer?
Democracy.
That is the right answer. Democracy was started by the Greeks. The Greeks were the first people that preached democracy. They were the ones who said that everybody should have a hand. Before that, there was no democracy. Before that, it was all kings. It was all people who, one or two people got control, and they threw their weight around. The Greeks were the first people to think and say, this is foolish, this is crazy, it's not fair. A lot of good people in the world, why shouldn't they have an opinion? Let people have an opinion on how things are done. So the American government that we have today is based on them. They made a lot of contributions in the way the government is set up, in terms of having some sort of representation, and so forth. The Greeks also made many, many contributions in other areas. In the area of medicine, every doctor today, before he goes into his practice, so sometimes you see hanging on the wall in his office, there was what's called the Hippocratic Oath. The Hippocratic Oath is a pledge that every doctor makes that he is going to do whatever is in the best interest of his patient. He's not going to take his own personal feelings into the matter. He's going to do whatever it is to help the patient to the fullest extent of his being. That is called the Hippocratic Oath. That was based on the teachings of a person named Hippocrates. Hippocrates was a Greek mathematician, who eventually became a doctor, and he was the person who made tremendous changes in the practice of medicine, which is still till today. If a person studies the literature of the world, so you will hear names dropped like Plato and Socrates and Aristotle. These were all Greek people. They made major contributions into the world of thinking, into the world of Chachma, and so on and so forth. Sports, modern sports, we have today. So every couple of years, soon they're going to have it. The Winter Olympics, all right? The Olympics was started, again, by the Greeks, organized sports and making into competition and the idea that people should develop themselves physically, should build up their bodies in such a way that they can compete. This is all coming from the Greeks. When you go and look at the way buildings are constructed, you will see that there are different types of architecture that we have, but if you study architecture a little bit, you will see that the first people to make major, major progress in terms of the beauty of building structures were the Greeks. So the Yavanim, the villains of Hanukkah, when you go in the secular world, you will hear only good things about them. Right? These people speak, you know, we're celebrating a victory over the Greeks, but it's a funny thing because if you go out into the street and ask the goyim, what's your opinion of the Greeks? They'll say, the Greeks? Unbelievable. It's unbelievable what they did. They enlightened us. They contributed so much to the world. They were the first people that spent a lot of time thinking. They didn't just act. They didn't just act impulsively. They didn't just act barbarically. You know, you go in the world today, there are still certain pockets in the world where you find people that are backward, that are tribes, that are not educated. And you see, even today, a little bit, you can get a sense of what used to be in the world. You see, you know, in Africa and in different parts of Asia, where there are undeveloped people, undeveloped cultures, where they walk around, they're not even dressed, they're very primitive, they have no education. That's the way the world was on a large scale until the Greeks came along. The Greeks made all these contributions to society, and the world today benefits greatly. the enlightened world today considers themselves that we come from the ancient Greeks. But if you look in the Chazal, you see a very different picture. The Chazal say on the very second pasuk in the Chumash, "V'ha'aretz ha'isa sov v'vov v'choshech al pnei sahom," right? That the world, when Hashem created it, was dark and tremendous. It was void and empty. V'choshech al pnei sahom. If you look in the Medrash Rabbah, you will see that v'choshech al pnei sahom says the Chazal, "Elu malchus yavon," that the Greeks represented darkness. Choshech al pnei sahom. And I remember the first time I saw that, I was so surprised because, really? That's not what anybody thinks. Everybody thinks it's exactly the opposite. So if you look there, you'll see what they're referring to in some sense. But what we have to understand is, why do we have this different view? Why do we have this different understanding than the rest of the world does? Why are we celebrating a holiday? The truth is, the non-Jewish world that we live in today, so, you know, everyone today is very nice to everybody, is tolerance, you accept everybody's religion, so therefore you go into the bank, you'll see they have a menorah, you go in public, you see, right, everybody's wishing, I was in Publix last night, they're wishing me a happy Hanukkah, everywhere you go, people are saying this, right, because we're very, very tolerant. But the truth of the matter is, if they knew what we were celebrating, I don't think they'd be so excited about it. Because they would say, what do you mean? What this is crazy. What, you're against all the progress that we have today? You're against the way we have our government? You're against the way we have our arts and our science and our sports and our medicine? You're against that? So what we have to understand, is where exactly, what is Hanukkah supposed to mean? Why is it that we're against this? And the reason for this is, Rabbosai, very simple. The reason is, we are not against any of the progress that people make in terms of technology, in terms of science, in terms of medicine. But a frum Jew understands that that's not the purpose of the world. The purpose of the world is, in our view, that a person should bring Kedusha into all of the aspects of physical life. That's what a Jew's purpose in this world is. To bring Kedusha, to bring holiness into the things that people do. So yeah, it's very nice that you could shoot a rocket up to the moon. And it's excellent that we have so much advancement in medicine. And it's enjoyable that we have all the sports. But the fact of the matter is that those are just side things that are supposed to contribute to help a person bring Kedusha into his life. So a person can benefit from these things if it's going to help him towards that goal. But the goal of a person is supposed to be, the challenge of life is that a person is, Hashem put us all in a physical world, Hashem put us all in a world where there are a lot of things that pull at us, there are a lot of things that pull at the desires of a person, and we are supposed to make those things kadosh. We're supposed to make those things holy. You're not supposed to say, I'm not interested in any of that. But rather, what you're supposed to say is, I'm going to do this in a way that befits a person who's a Tzelem Elokim. That I'm going to do this in a way that I'm doing it, and at the same time, it's helping me towards, not an end in itself, but it's helping me towards my life goal of improving myself, of making myself into a person who's interested in ruchnius, and a person who's interested in learning, a person who's interested in refining his character, into a person who's interested in serving Hashem. And that's where the difference lies. Because to the Greeks, none of that had any place. There was no God in the Greek world. And even if you'll say, what do you mean? I know that's not true. If you read the mythology of the Greeks, you'll see that there were all kinds of gods that they believed in. But if you know a little history, you will know that at the time of the development of the Greek culture, at the time of the philosophers, and at the time of all the big progress that they began to make, all of that stuff went out the window. Maybe originally they held on to some of those beliefs, but as they matured, as the culture developed itself, they said goodbye to all of that. And they preached that a person is here in this world for the purpose of this world and no other purpose. And therefore, you have to do whatever you could do to enjoy yourself. And to better enjoy yourself, it helps to think a little bit. You understand. You'll have a better government. You'll have a better life. You'll have a better way of doing things. That's the purpose of the world, according to the Greeks. That's what they said. And as they went around, the Greeks, aside from all of their culture, the Greeks were also a very, very strong military force. We know Alexander the Great conquered the civilized world, one of the people that conquered virtually the entire civilized world. As they went from country to country, they had a mission. They weren't just interested in conquest. They weren't just interested in conquering this country, this land. They were interested in spreading their beliefs to these places. And in most of the world, because of the fact that there was nobody there who ever really spent much time in any of these areas, nobody thought, nobody developed any sort of arts or any sort of medicine or any sort of progress. So most of the world received what the Greeks preached with open arms. But when they came to the Klal Yisrael represented a serious threat to them, a very serious threat to them. It was not a military threat, because at that time, the matzav of the Klal Yisrael, there was no big, strong Jewish army to go fight anybody. So the Greeks had their way. They were able to take control of Eretz Yisrael. But being that taking control was only a step towards preaching what they believed, when they came to the Klal Yisrael, they ran into very big problems, because the Klal Yisrael didn't accept any of those things. The Klal Yisrael said, what do you mean? That's not our view of life. We don't view that that's the purpose of life. We don't say you want to build nice buildings? We're not against that. You want to go ahead and make progress in different areas? You want to have a certain system of government? Okay, that's fine. But your understanding of what the world is about is totally different from what we believe. Totally different. But this bothered the Greeks very, very much. And this put them, they had never, ever encountered such a thing in any other conquest of the world that they had. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, they saw something, because they knew that the Torah is a direct threat to what they believe. And therefore, their only choice was to go ahead and knock out the Torah. And it happens to be that if you know a little bit of history, you know, it's kedai sometimes. I know that, you know, when you have the secular courses, not everyone always pays so much attention. But when they teach history, sometimes it's world history, it's worthwhile to listen to, because you understand a little bit better what's going on. If you know a little bit the history of the Klal Yisrael, so it happens to be that the Greek conquest of Eretz Yisrael took place in the beginning of the Tekufa of the second Beis Hamikdash. Now, what else was going on during that time? So the beginning of the time in the second Beis HaMikdash was a very auspicious time in the history of the Klal Yisrael, not for such a good reason. And that is that there was the end of the Tekufa of the Nevi'im. It was the end of the time in the Nevi'im. Throughout the first Beis HaMikdash and throughout the Golas Bavel, there was Navi after Navi after Navi, and there were people who had a direct link to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and anything that came up they could speak about and they could interpret and they could say, this is what's happening, this is what Hashem wants. But that came to an end. That came to an end at the time of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. And therefore Klal Yisrael was weaker. The Klal Yisrael was weaker than it had ever been, because they lost the connection. A big connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam was lost. So they were very, very vulnerable. They didn't have any more that Gadol. They didn't have Yeshayo HaNavi. They didn't have Yirmiyah. They didn't have Daniel. They didn't have Yecheskel. They didn't have such great people that could stand. And if not everyone necessarily listened to them, but those who did got great strength from them. But when it came to this time, that was it. It was over. So the Klal Yisrael was very, very vulnerable, and here they had the Greeks. And the Greeks were their whole mission became to be rode after the Torah. The Torah must go, because the Jews are the only people that think in the world. Nobody else does. We went to every other country. We went to Africa. We went to Asia Minor. We went to all these places. Nobody was bothering us, because they had nothing. They were pagan. They had nothing, no beliefs. But when they came to the Klal Yisrael, now they had a very, very big problem. And thus, their only way to deal with it, they didn't know how to deal with it. And they recognized that Klal Yisrael is, in a certain sense, not against some of the things that they're doing, But the Kal Yisrael has a different view of the world. That, yeah, you want to do these things, but you have to remember that what is your purpose in life? Your purpose in life is that there should be Kedusha, that there should be holiness in a physical world. This was totally against what the Greeks believed. So it became Lashkicham Tarasecha. So their attack became a direct attack on the Torah. That's what had to be done. That's what had to be done. And the Kal Yisrael was not strong enough to resist it. The Kal Yisrael was not strong enough to resist it. And therefore, there were people that did. But slowly but surely, it began to creep in. But the Chazal understood, the Chachamim understood, that if you let this go, this is going to be a Chorban greater than the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash. Because this is going to be a Chorban of the whole Torah. And therefore, ultimately, people gathered together and they said, Mil Hashem Elai, the people that came together and said that we're going to go and fight. We're going to go and fight against this. This is not acceptable. This is completely intolerable situation. And even though the Greeks would have been happy to leave them alive, they're very happy to leave them alive because their goal was to preach to everybody to believe what they believe. But the Kal Yisrael knew that if this is going to be the case, it's unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Those who stood strong, those who stood committed to the Dvar Hashem, understood that you can't accept this. Other Jews who were weaker said, why not? What's the big deal? So they want to make a sports stadium? Why would we be against that? Why would we be against that? They want to build fancy buildings? Not so bad. They want to put on productions, they want to put on drama, they want to emphasize art. We're saying the Torah can't do those things. Slowly but surely, it began to creep in. And a little bit, if you think for yourself, you will see that there's similarities very much to our time. The Greeks believed in science and only science. There's no Hashem. There's no Hashem. Science runs the world. Right? We came up, we discovered certain things, certain realities about the world. Aristotle made the major scientific contributions which held in the world for almost 1,000, much more than 1,000 years, almost 2,000 years. Until slowly but surely people began to show that they weren't true. At least some of them. But this was where the fight was. The fight was Lashkicham Tarasecha, because to the Greeks, science is science. There is no God in the world. If a person gets sick, so science will determine whether he gets better or not. It has nothing to do with saying Tillim or Davening or Schusim or learning. It has nothing to do with that. And in terms of a person leading his life, the Greeks believed, go do what you need to do, go have a good time. The Greeks were mechadish, they introduced all kinds of forms of entertainment and arts so that people should be drawn to it. It's so geschmack, it's so wonderful, we never had this before. You can go into a theater and watch a beautiful production. You never saw something like this in the world previously. So to the Kal Yisrael, those who understood, those who remained committed, they saw that even though on the outside it doesn't look so bad, but if you think it through, you will see that these are not things that we accept, that the values that they are preaching we don't agree with. And therefore, this represents a direct threat to the future existence of the Kal Yisrael. And therefore, this was the fight of the Kal Yisrael, of the Yidden who stood strong, of the Maccabim who stood strong against it. It was not a military victory. It's true it was a military victory, but that wasn't what was behind it. What was behind it was because of the fact that it didn't make sense to go fight against the Greek army. They were much, much stronger. But the reason why people were ready to be Moser Nefesh was because the Greeks were a direct threat to the Hashkofa, to the Derech, the way a frum Jew is supposed to lead his life. And thus we have Chanukah. And we have to understand that this is very much relevant to today. If you ask a Jew who isn't frum, if you go to a secular Jew and say, what do you celebrate in Chanukah? They'll say, well, it was a Jewish military victory against the Greeks several thousand years ago. So you ask yourself the kasha, so if that's true, why are you celebrating it? The world changed 1,000 times since then. Right? The Kal Yisrael celebrated Chanukah in the worst years of the Golis. What are you celebrating? A military victory? Now you're living in Golis. You're being persecuted by the Goyim left and right. So what kind of thing is that? This is what you're celebrating? It doesn't make any sense. But that's what a lot of people think. But we have to understand that the celebration of Chanukah is today. It's the same thing. You go in the world today, it's the same story exactly. It's exactly the same situation. Everybody is enlightened today. Everybody's a big chacham. Everybody, we're tolerant. Oh, we accept everybody. The Greeks also accepted everybody, right? They were not prejudiced. They didn't go after making fun of people because of this or that superficial differences between this person and that person. They were very accepting. They were very educated. They were very intelligent. They were into art. They were into sports. They were into medicine. They had a tremendous culture, and it was not easy for a Jew to see where the problem was. It wasn't easy. But those who understood the truth saw that this is a very great threat. There's a very great threat to the Klal Yisrael, because underlying everything is a belief that's totally different than what the Klal Yisrael believes. Totally different. You don't believe that the purpose of the world is just to have a good time. We don't go from party to party and say, yeah, it may look good. It may look good on the outside, but there is no depth to it. There is no meaning to it. It is not for this reason that Hashem put people in the world. So the fight that we have today is very much the same fight that they had in the times of the Yavanim. And if you understand that, you realize that Chanukah is a big yontif by us. Chanukah is a yontif that has to give us chizuk. Because it's very hard today growing up in this world. Very, very hard. You walk in the world, there's so much confusion. And it always amazes me that you know, the world considers itself today to be the all-time period of enlightenment. Today we have the internet, we have access to all information. At the push of a button, you can get everything. You can get everything. You can find out whatever you want. Yeah, all information, all parts of the world about every religion and every culture, you can get in a second. No one ever had so much access to information. And therefore, people today truly believe that they know more than everybody. And therefore, they know more than previous generations, and what was said in previous generations don't matter, and the culture and the values that they held in previous generations are irrelevant, because today we know better than anybody else. But the fact is, it always amazes me that when you walk in the street, I've been around long enough to be able to compare decade to decade, okay, generation even to generation. And I could tell you that when you walk in the street today, you see more confused people than you ever saw before. I remember I could go back a few years. And I'm telling you that you see today, with all the chokhmah and all the progress and all the technology, confused person after confused person. What is my purpose? What is my tachlis? What am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing? What meaning is there to anything? This is because they're living a life that was made up by people. It was made up by the Greeks. And we lead a life that was made up by the Ribbono Shel Olam, that was made up by the one who created people. By the one who created people and programmed people to respond certain ways to certain things. And therefore, if a person follows Al Piderech HaTaris, he'll be a happier person because of the fact that that's how a human being was created. It's like you program a computer to respond a certain way, that's how it's going to respond. But the world, the enlightened world of today, is the enlightened world of the Yavanim. And the celebration of Chanukah today has to be mechazikas. To be able to walk in the street and feel good and feel proud about what we do. And I just want to end with one vart. You're supposed to say a Dvar Torah over here at the Shmuz. This is not the typical Dvar Torah that you're going to hear at the Shmuz, but this is go a little bit off the beaten path for a Yontif of Chanukah. There's a vart which I've said over a number of times in the past, but I don't think I ever said it here, which I saw once in the Sefer Shnei Luchos HaBris. Sefer Shnei Luchos HaBris, Shalah, is called, says an amazing thing. There's a good Dvar Torah if you need a Dvar Torah for Chanukah. Okay, you listen now. If you'll be someone's house for Shabbos Chanukah and they say, no, you learn yeshiva, say, have a Dvar Torah, I'm about to give you a good one. Okay, so listen to this. The Kasha, Chanukah, is a yontif. If you're into the learning side of Chanukah, there are a lot of Kashas. Right? There are a lot of Kashas about Chanukah. Right? There are different famous questions. So the most famous question about Chanukah is the Beis Yosef's question, which is, why do we celebrate for 8 nights? After all, they had enough oil for 1 night, so really the nace was only 7, so why do we celebrate for 8? Okay, that's the most famous kasha. I'm not going to speak about that. That's the most famous kasha. The second most famous kasha is asked by the Pnei Yeshua in his commentary to the Gemara in Shabbos, where he asks that what was the whole point of the nace of the oil, that they only found one jug of oil that was tar. After all, the halacha says that in that case, they could have used oil that was tameh. because there's a klal in the halacha of tumah hutra b'tzibur that for the public need, you could bypass the laws of Tara, and therefore, since lighting the menorah was a need for the tzibur, so they could have used tumah oil. Why did Hashem have to make a nes by that? That's also a good kasha, and I'm not going to speak about that one either. The third most famous kasha about Hanukkah is the one I'd like to address. And that is, why is there a celebration of the lighting of the menorah when that didn't even make it kemat into the Al HaNisim? Right? That was a very, very small, in other words, like it was said before, when I asked, what do you celebrate on Hanukkah? The first answer I got was the victory over the Yavanim. That happens to be true. How do I know it's true? Because read the Al HaNisim and you'll see that. Right? It says that you gave over the strong people to the weak, and Rabbiad Matim, right? The tremendous things that we're able to overcome the mighty Greek army in a victory. And then it says, after that, the Jews came into the Beis HaMikdash, they cleaned it out from all the garbage that the Greeks had put there, Tiros Mikdashecha, they purified it, Vidliku Neiros Bechatzros Kodshecha, and they lit candles, they lit the Neiros in the holy environs in the Beis HaMikdash, V'kavul Shmonos Yemei Hanukkah Elu, and they established the 8 days of Hanukkah. So it doesn't even say that they lit the oil and it burned for 8 days. It doesn't even say that in Al HaNisim. So it's like an amazing thing. Like what we do contradicts what we say, right? The whole purpose of Hanukkah, L'Hodos L'Hallos, to give thanks to Hashem, so good, so let's see what we're giving thanks. Open up the Al HaNisim, you'll see it clearly. What are you giving thanks? You're giving thanks to Hashem for the victory over the Yavanim, right? For the defeat of the Yavanim. Right, and then it mentions, and it also lit candles, but it doesn't say the nes of the 8 days, and we have the whole nes of the 8 days of Hanukkah. So the Shalah says, there are numerous answers to this question, but the Shalah says something which I saw many years ago. It made a very big impression on me. The Shalah said that the fight of the Yavanim against the Jews, as we mentioned, was a fight of Torah. Was a fight over the Torah. Lashkichem to that it does say. Lashkichem Torah Secha. That was the big issue. Lashkichem Torah Secha, to make them forget the Torah. Now we know, the Pasuk tells us in one of the basic Yesodos of Emunah, is that Torah is what keeps the world going. Right? We have a Pasuk in Lo Brisi Yomim V'Laila, Chukos Shamayim V'Aretz Lo Samti. The Hashem said that if there would not be for the study of Torah, the world would not exist. So now, says the Shalah, when the Greeks were coming to make the Torah be forgotten, it wasn't just a question that they're going to wipe out the Torah from the Klal Yisrael. But if they would have succeeded, so then essentially the world would have ended. The world would have ended because of the fact that there's not going to be any Torah. There's not going to be any Torah. There's no world. So the fight of the Klal Yisrael against the Yavanim was a fight not even just for preserving the Torah, for keeping the Torah, but it was even more than that. If not for that, there would have been no world. The world would have ended. So says the Shalah, amazing thing. The Shalah says that when you think about it, right? So when the Nes of Hanukkah happened, right? And here, let's go back to our secular Jew. If you would ask the secular Jew, so, okay, you're telling me that we're celebrating the victory of the Jews over the Greeks. So explain to me, how did that happen exactly? How did that happen? Right? Well, the Greeks had a much stronger army. So they'll tell you, well, they used guerrilla tactics, they used all kinds of methods, which was true, right? That they had a whole chokhmah, how they went and fought against them, and that's how they won. So a person who lived at the time of Hanukkah, who observed the victory over the Yavanim, there were different madrigas of people. There were some people who would have looked at that and said, okay, it's a chiddush, but we can explain it. There's an explanation. It wasn't open, it wasn't Kriyas Yamsuf. There was a way that it happened. It was brilliant, very well thought out, very carefully executed, and that's how they won against the Yavanim. That's what some people would say. Other people would say, no, it was more than that. Come on, you got a little more hargosha, a little more feeling than that. You got to go a little better than that. Okay, so it was taka nes. It was a nes. Hashem helped out. But it wasn't the biggest deal. It was only the Haredim, it was only the people who were the truest and most connected to the Dvar Hashem who understood the scope of what happened. Because they understood that this is the world, this is life. What we just did now, even though we weren't in physical threat, but we just saved the world. The world would not continue if not for what we just did. So they came into the Beis HaMikdash and they lit the menorah. Now, if they saved the world, says the Shalah, so that means that basically the world was starting again. In other words, a new world now. The world was under threat of extinction, and that is a new world. If you open up a Chumash Bereishis and you look, what was the first thing that Hashem made in this world? Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Or. Hashem said there should be light. So they lit the menorah, and the menorah only should have lasted for one night, but it lasted for 8 nights. And a miracle happened through light. Says the Shalah, the people who were the thinking people, the Chokrim, the Chachamim, looked at that and they said, why is Hashem making that miracle? After all, the Pnei Yeshua said it wasn't necessary. Right? It didn't have to be that. We could have used the Tamei oil. Why is Hashem making this miracle for us? You know why Hashem is making a miracle through light? Because this is a hochacha min hashamayim. This is a statement that Hashem is making min hashamayim that Yehi Or, that you saved the world. That what you did made a new world. The world was about to end. The Yevanim were at the threshold of destroying the world with what they were trying to do. And you went ahead and stood up for the Torah, Yehi Or. And therefore Hashem made a nace happen through the candles, through the lighting of the menorah. And therefore it's true that in terms of the overall scope of what happened, it was a very minor nace. It was a very minor nace, and that's why it didn't make it into Al-Nisim. Because that wasn't, in and of itself, that wasn't no big deal. I mean, it was a nace, but it wasn't the biggest deal. But in terms of what it represented was what the Klal Yisrael stood up for, that when the Klal Yisrael stood up for the Torah, the Klal Yisrael stood up for the world. And that's why we light the menorah for 8 nights. You light the menorah for 8 nights, not just because a miracle happened through the candles. That's true, but that's shallow. Says the Shalah, you light the menorah for 8 nights because every night you light the menorah, you're saying to yourself that if not for the Torah, there would be no world. If not for a person standing up against the culture of whatever generation he lives in, whether it's 200 years before the Common Era or whether it's in the year 2013, in every situation where a person stands up against the culture of the world, that fight keeps the world going. That fight that a frum Jew, a boy goes to yeshiva and is told, you have to control yourself, you have to learn how to be a good person, you have to be an ish kaddish, you have to live a life of kedusha, you have to go ahead and learn and observe the mitzvahs carefully. So you say, oh, it's so annoying, there's so many things that I can't do. When you light the menorah on Hanukkah, say to yourself, remind yourself, if not for this, if not for what I do, there's no world. If not for what I do, there's no world. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. This is something, Rabbi Say, that you have 8 days to think about it. And the Klal Yisrael, and it's amazing, it's ironic, you know, the minig in yeshivas is that yeshivas all give off Hanukkah. It's like an ironic thing, because if anything, the yeshivas should all be locked the doors on Hanukkah, and everyone should stay and celebrate the Torah on Hanukkah. So it's like, it's almost like a joke, but it's in every yeshiva, whatever, various reasons why it is, practical reasons, so that's the way it's done. So we have days off coming up, and who knows what we have available to us to do during those days off. Just do yourself one favor. Every night, you got 7 more. When you light the menorah, just think about it. Right? Think about it, because even the Yevanim wanted people to think. Everybody on both sides of the equation in Hanukkah was about thinking. The Yevanim were telling people to think, and the Klal Yisrael and the Maccabim and the people who stood up to fight against it were also telling people to think. But when we light the menorah, we should do a little thinking and remind ourselves what we're doing and what that is supposed to, how that's supposed to affect us in terms of how we think and how we lead our lives. Yeah.
fucking phone.